What has driven you so long with this, Lloyd? You do not give up, my friend.
Well, because by the end of 99, I knew that it wasn't entirely human. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't say. But, you know, I went from seeing it first in February of 99, believing it had to be a deformity. I mean, really, what else can you think when you see something like
sure.
this? Well, yeah, it's really weird in a lot of ways, but it's just got to be a deformity. It can't be an alien or an alien human hybrid. I mean, it just couldn't be. And then by the end of that year, I had talked to so many experts, and I had had so many people who knew about different parts of the skull, who knew about eyes, who knew about ears, who knew about brains, who knew about, you know, the shapes, the bone. And I'd talk to each of them, and they'd say, well, you know, I can't explain my part of it, but it's really probably a deformity, you know. Same thing. It's just even they would be baffled. But by the end of it, I could see that nobody could explain the weird combination of physical differences. And so, you know, I knew that it was something very special. But to prove it, we had to have the DNA. And in 99, it was the Stone Age of DNA recovery. There were only six labs in the world that could recover ancient DNA, and we knew that the Star Child was 900 years old, and ancient is beyond 50 years of age. So there just wasn't the capacity then, and we had to wait, you know, patiently for that capacity to develop to where it is now, which will allow us to do everything we need to do with it.
What do you think you will find out with DNA testing?
Well, we know now where it is and what's going to come out of a total genome recovery. It's going to show that the Star Child is radically different from a human. When all this time we've been thinking that the difference would fall somewhere between a chimp and a human, and that's 3% of the entire genome. Now, everybody should understand that a genome is 3 billion base pairs in total. So that's an awful lot. But chimps and humans are 97% the same, very, very similar. Only 3% makes a difference. Now, that's 90 million base pairs, so there's a lot of room to roam there. But nonetheless, excuse me, it's still very similar. So we assume that the Star Child, because we have known since 2003 that it was some kind of human-alien hybrid, we just couldn't prove that either, but that we knew that. So we assumed it would be in that window because it couldn't be more different than a chimp. You could look at the skull and see that.
And are you tipping, Lloyd, to the human-alien hybrid theory as opposed to some different kind of species that truly just hasn't been discovered yet on this planet?
Well, yeah, because right now we know that part of its DNA is, in fact, human or very much like human, and its mitochondrial DNA, we know from 2003, is human. So it had a human mother. It came out of a human female's body when it was born. Or, excuse me, or at least it came out of the egg of a human female. Now, whether
right.
it actually came out of her body or whether it came out of a test tube, you know, a large jar of liquid or something, we don't know that for sure, but it came out of a female egg because its mitochondrial DNA is human. But nothing else about it seems to be human. Its father doesn't seem to be human. Its physiological traits don't seem to be, well, are not human. So there's something weird going on. And you asked earlier what the difference would be. Here's the difference that our geneticist, since the start of this year, has been finding. Rather than it falling within the window of 3% difference, he feels like, just roughly estimating with partial recoveries, but a rough estimate, it's going to be within 10% at a minimum to 50% at a maximum. So that is hugely, hugely different from what you would expect even for a human-alien hybrid.
Because,
so we're really not sure how to explain it at this point.
Because it is not totally human, you might be able to get around any cloning problems. Would you advocate cloning this creature, this
Well, I, you
entity?
Know, I wouldn't necessarily resist it, but it doesn't matter what I or you or anyone listening thinks. The morals of the issue of just stem cell. I mean, look where we are right now.
Oh,
we
I
can't
know.
Even get stem cells done. So we can't even think about that with this generation. And when I say generation, I mean literally tens of thousands of people are going to have to die who are in power right now. And a new generation is going to have to come up and take their place before we can even think about things like that.
Where is the Star Child skull now, Lloyd?
It's in a bank vault where it always stays when it's not, you know, on display. It's locked away very carefully.
And there's no problems because it is all bone. There's no decomposition here, right?
No, it's just about like being in the cave where it was for 900 years. You know, they're climate controlled and very safe. So there's just no degradation. It's had a really like a charmed life. Being buried in a mine tunnel has allowed it to stay relatively fresh as bone goes for 900 years. We've had easy, whenever we could recover, we've had easy recoveries. Even the most recent one with the advanced shotgunning technique that was done this year to recover its nuclear DNA, what could not be recovered in 2003, that came up very easily too. It's there. It's fresh. We knew that. We knew that in 2003. You could see that the human found with it, its mitochondrial and its nuclear DNA came up very easy and clear the first attempt. And
right.
The Star Child's mitochondrial DNA came up easy on its first attempt. So we knew it. The nuclear DNA was there. We just couldn't recover it with human only primers because it's not a human. So the trick was, how do you prove what it is? And that's where we are now. We're in position to be able to recover the whole genome of whatever. We assume it's going to be around 3 billion base pairs. A human's around 3 billion, a chimp's around 3 billion, a gorilla's around 3 billion. A Neanderthal, ironically enough, is substantially more than 3 billion. But whatever the Star Child turns out to be, we'll be able to recover most, if not all of it. And then we'll be able to compare it piece by piece, literally base pair by base pair, gene by gene, to see what the differences are. And out of that is going to come that percentage of difference that we talked about earlier. And it'll be, again, somewhere between 10 and 50%, but mind-bogglingly different than a human. So there will just be no, you know how it was with the Hobbit or anything that's different.
Right.
It allows scientists to say, well, it's just some weird thing. It's just some freak of nature. It's just some, you know, it's a human. It's a kind of human. It's just a different human. They're not going to be able to say that about the Star Child. They're just going to have to choke it down, like it or not, that this is an alien, and they're going to have to live with it, deal with it, adapt to it, that there was at least one alien alive on Earth and died on Earth 900 years ago. But the big story is that we may very well be able to prove that it was a genetically engineered being. And that's what all this radical difference in the DNA opens that window to proving that it was genetically engineered.
And it backs up the work of Zachariah Sitchin.
Exactly.
Huh?
Once you can prove that happened 900 years ago, genetic engineering 900 years ago, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to begin to open your mind to the possibility that maybe we are genetically engineered the way that the Sumerians wrote, the way Sitchin believes, the way I believe. I think all the evidence is there. All you need is there right now in the human genome to say we're a genetically modified species.